This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey, one of the MCSEs here at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We have three lines open for you on this lovely Saturday morning. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We've been asked often to put our quote-unquote steps to cutting the cable on our page. So we found some articles that kind of cover it pretty well. But it is kind of different for every person. But the concepts are generally the same when it comes to cutting the cable. You need to get your own cable modem, generally locate it where the cable service comes into your house, and then run a Cat 5 or 6 cable up to your router, which you should display prominently in your home. I mean, it really should be an appliance that takes just as much prominence as your old DVD player. Right?
Well, yeah, but some of those Linksys ones with all the antennas, they're going to look like an upside-down dead spider.
It looks like a crab. Yeah, that's what I call it. I've got a big crab in my house. Dead spider, that's exactly right. But, you know, when you get up close to it, your hair blows back with all the Wi-Fi that's coming out of it. So, I mean, it's the way to do it. And then once you've got a good, solid network there now, you've got your brand-new modem, you've got your nice wireless router in the middle of your home, now you're setting up and picking your streaming devices. You know, you can have a smart TV with the streaming built in. You know, the softwares are all right there. Or you can have boxes like Apple TV, NVIDIA Shield, Rokus that will accept the signals. I love taking my Shield with me. Anytime I go on vacation, my Shield comes with us. So our TV, everything about our programming comes with us. I'm watching NBC 30 from Florida. I can check out what's going on up here and check out what's going on down there at the same time. So you can take all your stuff with you, which is kind of nice. So we'll put some information up there for you. That's really some nice articles about the general idea of cutting the cable. So feel free to get online. We're going to go next to Tom in Harwington. What's going on, Tom?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you, sir?
Okay. All right. This is probably the most unique phone call you've ever received. And over the past 25, 30 years, you've done a lot of good and helped people and helped me many times. So I've got something for Bob today.
Oh, wonderful.
Now, Bob mentioned this morning that he doesn't like to sit. He wants to get up and move around because he gets leg cramps. And if he's getting leg cramps in the day sitting, he's probably getting them at night. And they are extraordinarily painful.
Sure.
And I was getting them, and I started taking a calcium supplement, 500 milligrams. It's nothing exotic. And the very day I took the first supplement, the cramps went away that night. And over the past, I'd say, 3.5 or 4 years, I've only had a leg cramp maybe 2 or 3 times.
Wow. So you're helping us out. You're helping Bob.
Well,
yeah, well, Bob's helped me a lot.
Yeah, so that's very nice. Very nice of you there.
I appreciate that, and I agree with that. But I found a more appealing approach for me.
What's that?
I have an orange before I go to bed every night.
An orange?
Okay.
And it's simpler and it's natural, so I like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bob, I looked up on the internet trying to figure out what kind of food I could eat to get the calcium or whatever it was, because I didn't know it was calcium. And, you know, I tried all kinds of things that were high in calcium, and none of them did a darn thing. But the day I took that calcium supplement, the cramps went away. So, you know, awesome. If an orange works, then that's good.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you thinking about us, Tom. We do appreciate that.
Yep, and we do and have calcium supplements in
yes,
our
sir.
House.
One other thing, that lady that called in towards the end of the first half hour,
yeah.
You know what I did 4 years ago? I went on the Walmart website. I looked for the cheapest brand name duplex printer they had,
yeah.
And I bought a Brothers HL2240D. And,
sure.
You know, they probably don't make these anymore. It was only $99, and it was free shipping.
Yep.
And the first cartridge that it came with lasted me probably better than 2 years.
Wow.
I don't print a real lot, but it's been very reliable. It was very inexpensive. And if you don't print color, why pay for it?
I hear you. Yeah, I've not been a big fan of Brother, but yeah, that's a fair. It's a fair option if you can find a good laser printer that'll do duplex. I just know that if I recommend HP, no one's going to send me hate mail.
Okay. Well, I hope they don't send me hate mail on Brothers. I mean, I never had a Brothers before, but this one works great. I've never had a problem with it.
I love it. It's all a matter of experience. So I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Tom.
Okay, have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. It was the most unique call I think we've got on Computer Talk. He was right.
Right.
How to solve your leg cramps.
Oh, yeah. Well, that works, too.
Yeah. Let's move on. I love that. Let's move on to Chris. Chris is back. You there, Chris? Your phone sounds horrible, but I hear... Are you there, Chris? Chris, you there? Going once? I'm not sure if Chris just wants to send us a hum. I don't know. Chris, I don't think you're there, bud. Try again.
Yes, we are here.
Oh, there you are. What's going on, Chris?
Okay, back in the day when AT&T was my true copper landline provider, I was able to have access to MSN via the Microsoft dial-up from my IBM computer that has a modem in it.
Yeah.
You know, dialed up to a server.
Yeah, back in the day.
The phone line.
Yeah.
Is there anything like that now?
Heck no. Nobody's doing any dial-up internet service that I could think of. You know what? I shouldn't say unequivocally. There could be somebody out there doing that. Why would you want to go that way, Chris?
Because why do I want somebody to come in and put a modem when I already have a modem in the machine? I mean...
Well, the modem is going to be an analog modem that does that squawk, right? That loud squawk to connect. Right? So you're doing an analog connection to the old internet service provider, which was dial-up. So, and you might connect at 5600 baud, which is going to be very slow. So that's why you wouldn't.
Trust me, I don't go on that often.
Sure.
The short answer is, what do I have to do?
The short answer is you need to call whoever's in your area for some sort of broadband, either DSL or cable internet service. Or you could check with T-Mobile. They do have a residential cellular wireless service. So go check on T-Mobile's website if your address is part of that, which would be pretty cool.
Can you use that machine? Oh, you can't because... It has the analog modem.
No, stop. You can. How old is that machine, Chris? What is that? What is it running?
Oh, trust me, it's old.
Okay, then let's say
it has Microsoft 98 on it.
Oh, yeah, no.
However, I had Microsoft 7 on it, and I was using it.
Yeah.
Just connecting to some Hartford number, you put it in, $10 a month.
Oh, my goodness. I feel like I've stepped back in time. I feel like I'm talking to somebody. Yeah, when I had more hair and we were talking about how to connect your computer over dial-up. Welcome to the Internet Help Desk, my friend. That comes to mind with three dead trolls in a baggie. We used to play that bit.
Well, they still have dial-up services available all over the country.
Are you finding them?
Oh, yeah,
he's
absolutely.
Finding them. Oh, Chris. Don't do it, Chris. Don't do it. So they still exist, Bob is saying.
Okay, can you keep talking?
We'll put a link up there. We'll put a link up there for you to check it out if you truly want to connect with your Windows 98 machine over dial-up internet. But most browsers are going to be current, right? So if I'm going to write a website that's going to be compatible with most people, I'm not going to write it to be compatible with a Windows 98 flavor of a browser. So just because it does exist doesn't mean... So we can connect you maybe... But your system is so old that you go ahead to anybody's website and it won't work. Do you follow me?
Yeah, well, I mean, all I want to get into is Microsoft Network. They're,
MSN, you said.
Yeah, MSN. That's all I want.
I hear you.
Well, the website.
Sound like a complete Neanderthal.
No. Well, Neanderthals are hot these days in the news. According to the president, you're doing fine. I mean, you know, Chris, it is what you want. It's what, you know, I would tell you, though, that I think you're going to find yourself working really hard to get something you're not going to be happy with.
Windows 98 web browser is not going to display even MSN very well.
Yeah.
Well, so I upgrade. I mean, this machine has a lot of memory in it. I can upgrade to any MSN thing and I want to just use an existing modem and hook up to some server.
I understand. If that machine is as old as I think it is, you're not going to be able to upgrade to anything current, Chris. I think you need to pronounce it dead.
Okay.
And go out and get an inexpensive Windows 10 machine, and you'll be much happier and try to get on the internet the right way these days.
Okay.
Than try to use it the other way.
What would be a good Windows 10 machine?
I would tell you to go look at the HP line. If you want a laptop, look at the Envy line of laptops. That's what I recommended for my college-age kids, and all of them still have them, and they have not broken.
What was that one again?
HP Envy line of laptops.
HP
Envy, as in I'm envious of your Neanderthal thinking.
Yeah.
make sure your case is metal. Don't use a plastic case. Make sure it's a more of an aluminum metallic style case.
Yeah.
It'll last longer because the hinges on the plastic ones fall apart. And you'll spend anywhere from $600-$700, maybe more. But you have gotten away with the computer world so cheaply for so long that you must have all sorts of money saved up for a current computer. Uh-oh. That big pause means maybe not. Have you been spending your money on other things? Maybe you have.
Well, like I say, you wouldn't even believe this if I told you, but I was in business systems engineering.
You're kidding.
Back in the day when we made things very simple for people to use, you know, the technology these days to me is far too complicated and not really worth my time.
I hear you. But it's ironic, Chris. I would disagree with you that back in the day it was simpler. Now you can pretty much just touch a button on your computer and you're connected to the internet. In the old days when we were doing this show, people couldn't figure out what baud was and modems were and how to get the dial to work and using phone lines, and it was cumbersome and analog.
Every time you connected something to your computer, you had to go into the config sys and auto exec bat files to make them work, and then all of the entries had to be in a certain order.
Yeah.
Today, and then they went to plug and pray,
right.
And then from there it went to plug and play.
Yeah, you should be so much happier these days. It's odd that you were in the business you were and you find it simpler, but then again, that's the technology you knew. But I would just, I disagree with you that it's harder these days. It's almost too easy these days.
Well, it's like I say.
Yeah, I know. I hear you.
With everybody and all their problems.
Well, problems are, heck, I've got a microwave with problems. I think that, anything you have with technology, you're always going to have issues with it, whether it's a microwave, a car, a computer. So it's just the nature of our beasts that we're dealing with. But I hope we helped you, Chris.
Okay, so an HP
Envy, like I'm envious of you.
We put a lot.
We'll put a link for
a link up there. So the HP
Envy, you can't get to
official
it.
Store.
Okay, she can't get to it. Is it NG?
Envy, like I'm envious.
Oh, envy. okay. This is the AT&T provider changed to Frontier Fuzzy.
Yeah, your phone is very loud. I can't imagine you can even understand half of what I'm saying. It's got a weird buzz on it.
Okay. So in the metal case, $600 to $700.
Yeah.
I can probably still connect it to the nice IBM monitor.
Yeah.
Got a nice Lexmark laser printer.
Sure.
All right.
All right. Go do it, Chris.
Shabby. Thanks
right.
so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. It's great. She's trying to get it to the current. She's getting there. We're going to step out for a quick break. Get back to your calls. Jack in Middletown, hang on. Three lines open for you. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and we're going to be here till 11. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Then Dr. Alessi will be in. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. So let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Jack in Middletown. What's going on, Jack?
Hi, guys. Long time listener. I'm getting a little echo.
A little echo?
But I think I can get through it.
All right.
I recently went to a local convenience store and was surprised to see a Bitcoin option.
I know.
Now, I know you're not a fan of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency,
Right.
Neither am I.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get involved in such a volatile thing. But I consider myself tech-savvy, but I don't understand the whole premise behind this.
Yeah, you and me both. So the premise behind cryptocurrency is that it was created by, I can't think of the guy's name, and actually nobody knows where this guy is who created Bitcoin, but it's based on a calculation that continues to be calculated. And you need processing power. In some cases, you need enough processing power, you know, some small European countries worth of power to process crypto.
Is that why GPUs are selling through the roof?
Yep, that's why NVIDIA is going through the roof, because these guys are buying these crypto mining rigs. Because now if you've got a crypto, Bitcoin was worth $2,000 or $3,000 of real money.
right.
Now it's worth $50,000. You got people like Elon Musk getting behind it, and big banks now are starting to get behind it. So it's propping up the bubble of the crypto. Maybe it's not a bubble, maybe it is a bubble. But the problem with it is that it's anonymous. It's also a benefit. If you're a libertarian thinker, you love the idea of crypto, because banks can't track your transactions. Nobody is tracking your transactions, right? Right,
so
now,
if you
make
laundering money,
yeah.
It's untraceable?
It's untraceable. Well, technically, there might be some level of traceability, but it's very hard to trace. And that's the beauty of cryptocurrencies for people who are libertarian thinkers, because now they don't have anybody watching what they're doing. But it's also great if you're a bad guy, right? So if you're going to get, you know, ransomware people's networks and servers and computers, you're going to ask to get paid in crypto. You know, you're not going to get paid in cash anymore, because you can't be traced. Well, so then you go to a site that'll convert your crypto into real dollars, or in your case, you found a convenience store that's accepting the cryptocurrency.
Oh my God!
Yep. So it's all what we agreed to. I mean, heck, the Indians were trading New York for some beads and shells. So yeah. it comes down to what you value.
That's true.
I've read articles, and some of them I think are legitimate,
mm-hmm.
but. You know, a lot of people are saying that the government is going to end cash, if you will, in the future, and it's all going to be electronic.
Well, that's very traceable. That'll be traceable, right?
Exactly.
The government wants to trace that. But if crypto, so the thing is, I think eventually, and this is just my speculation, there will be a way to lock down and trace crypto. Right now, there isn't. But in order to make this legitimate and trade in cryptocurrency versus real dollars, the government's never
going to. It's a blockchain thing.
Yes, it's a blockchain thing, yep. And it's a calculation. That calculation of that blockchain takes a lot of CPU cycles to continue to calculate those blockchains. And you get a piece of a coin that is produced for the amount of transactions your system calculates to allow the system to exist.
I see.
It's distributed. It's all distributed across the planet. And whoever's part of that crypto calculation, as being part of it, as part of the blockchain, they get rewarded in a piece of crypto, a fractional piece of crypto that you build.
I know I know your audience is getting bored, so.
Well, who knows?
Yeah, all right, thank you.
You're welcome, Jack. Good luck out there.
Yeah.
You know, crypto is going to be here, I think, forever.
If they eliminate cash, it gets rid of the underground currency, and then the government will know exactly where every dollar is spent.
Yes, if they connect crypto to doing that, we'll see. We'll see. If crypto wins out and they're not able to do it, I don't know. That's a libertarian fantasy world. They love the idea of not having any transaction being traced.
I think that you'll have an underground market regardless, because people will go back to barter.
Who knows? Yeah. Maybe they'll trade in whiskey and who knows, coffee
and rice.
Sugar and whatever. Let's go to, who knows, man. We've seen it all this year. Anything can happen. Let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Diane in South Glastonbury. What's going on, Diane?
Good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have sort of a general kind of a question. Mm-hmm. I'm with a local cable company. I've been with them for 29 years.
Yeah.
I have basic cable.
Yeah.
My house phone. My son has a computer, the internet.
Yep.
I do not have a computer. I do not have a smartphone. I don't have a cell phone. So here there's going to be changes coming in with Cox Cable come this June. I don't know. That's why I'm asking you.
Mm.
If I have to change, can I keep my phone number, which I've had for 39 years?
Sure. You can keep your phone number. If you change to UMA, you would port that number to UMA. That number is can stay with you for as long as you'd like to keep it. You can port it to all sorts of services.
No matter where I go, no matter what company I go with?
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't know that. I thought you lost your number and they give you another one.
Nope. You can keep it forever.
Oh, that's terrific. I can't even begin to know how many people have my phone number.
I hear you. You don't want to. You want to keep that. So yeah, it definitely can be done. You port it to UMA, and it's still yours, and you just got to pay UMA.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Good weekend.
You too. Bye bye.
Bye.
We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to stay online. 800-966-WTIC. 522-WTIC are the numbers. Everything we've talked about has been posted live over at WTIC's. I'm sorry. Computer Talk with Tab. It's the name of our show.com, which also works. And of course, we post it over to our Facebook page. If you like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg deems the news worthy, and you're not, well, maybe you're, if you're in Australia or not, it might get to you these days. It'll get into your news feed. And of course, we're broadcasting live over on WTIC's Facebook page. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we had a Facebook person wonder, what the heck is an MCSE? And I talk about Bob Shorey being an MCSE. So the guys at Tab that work here at Tab for our business clients have to be certified in Microsoft. And Bob happens to be a Microsoft-certified systems engineer. So it's important that we have certified folks helping our clients with their systems, and Bob's one of them. So let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Debbie in Winchester next. What's going on, Debbie?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I had a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And one is, I haven't had a desktop computer in a very long time, but now I do.
All right.
And it has OpenOffice on it.
Yeah.
I was wondering, what is the best format to send documents to other people, like by email, so that they can open them? Because when I tried to do it on my iPad, nothing ever worked. but I didn't know how, like, they have .odf, .swx. There's a bunch of different formats to send things in.
With the OpenOffice?
Yeah.
Well, it'll depend on what they have on the other end. I'm trying to see. Go ahead, Bob.
DOCX is what Microsoft uses, and OpenOffice also uses DOCX.
Do they?
Yes.
I did not know that.
So that's all would be compatible. That's a generic standard. It's not owned by Microsoft. It's an industry standard.
I didn't even know it.
Right.
So it looks like Apache has that ability, so DOCX is the answer.
Okay, and how about for the spreadsheet programs, the same thing, the .xls?
If they have it.
Yes.
Bob says they do. I've never played with OpenOffice to know. So Bob says they do, and the answer is yes.
Oh, okay, great.
Obviously, you can test it by sending them off to folks that have the Microsoft suite to see if they can open it.
Yeah, I just have had problems with it in the past, and so was just curious if there was one that was the best way to go.
Yeah.
The other question that I had, and I know this is repetitive, but I haven't had a desktop, so I haven't really paid close attention. So this is new, and I know you recommend the OpenDNS.
Yeah.
And then what else do you recommend, like as far as security, for a computer?
We like Webroot antivirus would be what we'd recommend. So paid antivirus, don't do the free stuff. It'll cost you about $24, $25 a year.
Okay.
And if you do those two things, OpenDNS, have that configured on your machine, and have good antivirus, you'll be in generally good shape.
Okay. Those are the two basics. Don't you need like a malware type thing, or is that included in the antivirus?
I misunderstood what you said. What's included?
Do you need like a separate malware?
No. So with OpenDNS, you should it should keep you away from malware by default. That's the beauty of it. It's going to keep you on a safer path on the internet. So
Okay.
It's kind of like the dogs, keeping you safe.
Okay. Sorry.
It's okay. Live radio. That's what happens.
Thank you. I really appreciate your help. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. That's the thing about live radio. We've had parrots talk on the radio. We've also had sorts of things happen over the past 26-some-odd years we've been doing this. Let's go to Catherine in Plainville next. What's going on, Catherine?
Hi. I have an 11-year-old desktop computer, and I want to get a new HP.
Mm-hmm.
What is the easiest way to transfer all the stuff into the new computer?
So you're only going to be able to transfer data. All right,
okay.
Keep that in mind. And what I'd probably recommend is the easiest way is to, well, how are you backing up your 11-year-old machine right now, Catherine?
On disk.
On a hard disk?
Yeah.
Okay, are you using a tool, or are you simply just copying the data occasionally to the disk?
Just copying.
All right. So you would take, you do a final copy of your important data to that disk.
Uh-huh.
Unplug it from your computer, put the new computer on the table, connect your disk, and copy it back.
Oh, okay. It's simple as that.
Simple as that for data. You're going to have to reinstall applications from disk or download them again and pay
for
them. But that's all you got to do. Make a directory, set up your directory structure, and restore it back to your new computer. So that's simple as that.
Okay. Not a hard drive? Copy everything onto a hard drive?
When you said disk, that's what I assumed you were using. What are you using, a floppy disk?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You have very little data then. I assumed the data you were copying would have been on an external hard drive, but it's not. It's just on a floppy disk.
So you want me to put everything onto an external hard drive?
Yes, ma'am. That would do it.
Okay, that sounds good. Because all I do, I'm on the new HP, I don't know what kind to get, because all I do is pay bills, email, and doctor's visits. I don't have any business or anything. How much space am I going to need? I don't haven't used that much on this old computer.
You're right, based on what you just told me. I would tell you to look at the Envy line of HPs. They're going to be a good quality. They're going to give you another 11 years the way you seem to operate.
I know. I have 7 on there.
Yeah. If you spend too little on a computer, you might find it's not going to last you.
Yeah.
So I would always tell you to spend a little bit more. Get that metal case. Get that i5 processor. Get 16 gigs of RAM.
Well, I'm going for a desktop.
Okay. They may not have an Envy line of desktops, but they're going to have a home line of desktops that'll give you that same range of quality. I would tell you to stick with the maybe $700 to $800 range, and it'll give you a long range of service. If you spend too little, it won't.
Well, I'm 84 years old, so I don't think I'm going to live another 30 years.
Oh, come on. Come on. Now
get me to the end of life.
I hear that. Well, get a good computer, and then you won't have to worry about it.
Age is only a
thank
number.
Thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome, Catherine.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye.
So, on that open office, in order to open the DocX files, you got to have a newer version, like 3.0 or newer.
On the Apache OpenOffice?
OpenOffice, yes.
Yeah, we can put a link to Apache, but it supports it, is what you're saying.
Yes.
It'll create the DocX, and you can open the DocX.
Yes.
That's awesome. Who needs Microsoft?
Well, yeah.
Refresh our screen here. All right, we're going to go to Barbara in Southbury next. What's going on, Barbara?
Hello.
Hello.
I wanted to share with you some alternative views on the HP printers.
Oh, feel free.
Footnoted views.
Sure.
Because I have HP laptops, a number of them I've had, and I've had a number of HP printers, and overall, they're good. They're workhorses.
Yeah.
They got good features.
Sure.
They do the job.
Mm-hmm.
But
uh-oh.
The latest one that we got was missing a key feature.
Oh, what is this?
For me. And I think maybe for a lot of people. When I'm copying stuff, multi-page things from like magazines or books or whatever that I want to be able to access later on and not have to keep the paper thing,
mm-hmm.
used to be, you could copy them onto your flash drive, carry the flash drive over to your computer, and put them on your computer.
Uh-huh.
Now they have something called HP Smart, which I would say is maybe more appropriately HP Half Smart.
All right.
Because they removed the possibility of making a multi-page document on your flash drive. If you have a five-page article, it's going to come out as five separate PDF pages, which is an annoyance.
Gotcha.
So this, it took me a very long time on hold and multiple transfers to get to somebody who at least could tell me that, because they kept saying, well, yeah, of course we have a flash drive. Yeah, but it doesn't work with that. It won't accept a multi-page document on the flash drive.
Interesting.
And the last guy I talked to said, oh, yes, because you need to use the HP Smart app.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't install apps that I don't need to install, so I never installed that. And that lets you make the multi-page document. But the catch is that works fairly conveniently if you keep your printer right next to your computer. Now, mine is not in another building or another part of the house.
Okay.
But it is, oh, an 8-foot walk or so.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting down on my computer. I get up. I set up the page.
Right.
I go back. I open the app. I click scan. I wait, go through the steps on that. Then I got to get up, walk over, turn the book around, go back, sit down.
Right.
And it's just, and you know, it's good to exercise. It probably helps the leg pain that you guys were talking about before.
Yep.
But it's really inconvenient.
It's in the age of, come on, technology. I hear you, though. You're not very happy with their smart software.
And maybe enough other people will relay that up to them that they will find an improved version for my next printer. And I'm not quite 84 yet, so I think I might eventually get to another printer. But we want to check that particular feature out before I buy the next one.
And this is, again, in a multifunction device that has scanning.
It's one of their laser jet printers, and it's got all kinds of cool stuff, and it does a great job of printing and a great job of scanning and all that kind of stuff. It's just why did you take away the flash drive connection?
It's a feature.
Why did they not allow you to do a batch of scans? If you're going to say, okay, download them on your app, that would sort of be okay if you could do the scans and send them in a batch.
Right.
But it's just...
So I guess I got a question for you, Barbara,
as
you were chatting. Is the material you're scanning available already electronically?
It depends. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, if it is, I might do it that way. But
right.
a lot of times it's some book in my library.
Yeah.
Or somebody else's library. You know, I borrowed it from the library and I want to save a particular chapter or a particular piece of something. For future reference.
Well, we will put it in advisement. It has gone out into the radio world, and maybe some HP programmer is going to say, you know what, Barbara's right. I got to fix that.
Yeah, I know. The biggest problem is that the people that actually do this stuff are so many layers removed from the people who talk to the customers.
Yes.
It takes a long time for that stuff to be passed up, and there's very little reward given to them.
Correct.
In most companies. Now, I can't speak for HP. It's been around for a very long time, and they've succeeded. So
right.
I would hope that they do actually get that feedback. But
could be in the next version, all you know.
Could be. Then I'll have a one-year-old, out-of-date printer. I'll feel an unhappy camper.
All right, Barb. Hopefully they've listened to you. We'll see.
Thanks so much. Have a
You're
great
welcome.
Day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So we're going to step out for a very quick break and get back to more of your calls. Three lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk. Everything we've talked about is posted live over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com. If you follow us on Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg deems the newsworthy, if you like us at Tab Computer Systems, it might get into your news feed. And, of course, we are broadcasting live over on WTIC's Facebook page. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're talking technology, and I was just talking to Bob off the air. My wife and I are considering an induction stove, and Bob's like, yeah, I got one. So how do you like it? It cooks with magnets, and it doesn't even get hot.
Oh, no. Yeah, I think mine isn't the induction type. Mine's an older one.
Oh, it's electric?
But it's electric.
Oh, it's electric.
It sits on there, yeah.
Mine is going to be induction. So basically, there's magnets below the cook surface,
right,
which is
glass.
So
it never gets hot to the touch.
It never gets hot to the touch. Yeah. And it excites the metal in the pan. And the pan gets hot, and the food gets cooked. But I was just curious who's out there who's had an induction stove. I mean, my wife and I barely boil water when we cook, so we're not going to be affected too much as far as our ability to cook. But I'm looking forward to this technology. And they're on back order. You can't get them anywhere. I mean, Japan, 65% of the stoves in Japan are induction. But not here in the States. In the States, it's too newfangled, I guess. But we figured
you might save electricity.
I don't know. We're getting rid of our gas stove. We have a gas stove right now, and very excited to check out magnetic.
Well,
cooking.
I just think the old gas stoves just were too difficult to clean.
Oh, what a mess!
Yeah,
and they're hot. I don't know.
Yeah.
So we're excited, but I was just curious if you have an induction. If you're on the Facebooks page here and you've got an induction stove, let me know how you've done with it. Let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Joyce in Simsbury next. What's going on, Joyce?
Hi. Thank you for taking the call. I've got two problems, both of which I've caused, I think. First one is that a letter, I am sending out letters on the computer.
All right.
And I've got one, and I can't send it. I got print, and I got the print image. But then it comes up, and it says printing 24 documents waiting. Well, that's where I've been trying to get the name on, too. But I've done something to block it, I think, and I don't know what.
Is your printer on?
Yes.
Can you do a test print? What type of printer do you have, Joyce?
HP.
It's an HP, mm-hmm. And it's connected physically to your computer?
Yes. Mm-hmm. HP 4650.
Oh, nice printer.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So right now
I could only make it work.
Yeah, so they're all sitting in your out queue.
Yes, they're out there, yeah.
So if you go to the printer queue... Right, Bob? She's got to go to the print queue and just right-click on that print queue. And can you see the print jobs in there?
I got it, yeah, and I can get it up as far as the printers.
Yeah.
But when I print okay, it doesn't show it.
Nothing goes into the queue? You don't see your 26 pages sitting in the printer queue?
I see my 26 pages, yeah, I see it.
You do see it?
Yeah.
But it's not printing. So your printer is offline to your computer.
It is.
How is it connected to your computer?
Electronically.
Yep. You're right. It is electronically. Is it... Ask a stupid question, you're going to get an answer like that.
No, no.
Is it USB? Is it wireless?
No, let's see. It would be wire.
Is it hard? You have a wire that goes from the printer to the back of your computer?
Yes, and I think it's connected.
Well, I'm telling you, it may not be. That's why I'm asking.
Really?
Your printer seems offline to me.
Uh-huh.
Is there a green button by it, or is it showing offline if you go to the printers of your...
Oh, let's see. The face of the printer, it's flashing blue.
Flashing blue.
Yes, that's the face of the printer, right?
Oh, you're looking at the printer itself?
Yes.
Flashing blue. And I'm not sure what that means.
No, I'm not.
But I would tell you to trace the wire that goes from your printer to your computer.
Yeah.
And then see if it's plugged into your computer. If it is, unplug it.
Yeah.
And then plug it back in.
Okay.
I'm hoping it's going to say, "Oh, Joyce wants the print."
You may need to plug it into a different USB port.
Right. That's true, too. So your printer is offline right now.
It is.
Is there a 15-year-old kid nearby?
Well, no, but I can find one.
All right. I think your printer is offline, Joyce. And the problem is you got to get it back on. You got to wake it up.
Okay.
And you could always reboot everything. You could turn your printer off.
Yeah.
Shut your machine down.
Yeah.
turn the printer on, and then turn the computer back on, and maybe everything will be seen. But I want you to check your cable to see if it's connected.
Okay.
Because if it's right near you and it's just going in the queue, your printer's offline. I assume it's got paper, Joyce.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yes. You got toner too, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Ready to go. He's ready to go.
It's connected electronically. So you just need to unplug it and plug it back in. I bet you that'll work.
Okay. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I'll do that. Now, my second question.
Sure.
Oh. No, it's really simple, they think.
Uh-huh.
I stupidly... I stupidly put something in, I guess. I got three things that say, good luck, frog, calm. Now, that's an I'm sorry.
It's okay.
That is, some kind of a silly thing. But good luck, frog, calm. What is that, and how do I get rid of it? I got three little things, and they keep popping up.
So you have some sort of pop-up happening to you, is what you're saying.
Yes, that's right. How to get rid of them?
Well, I got a feeling you need to download a tool called Malwarebytes.
Okay.
And uninstall it. But you're getting emails from people called Good Luck Frog?
Well, no. Well, yes, I am. Three. Like, I hope you're sitting down. I hope you won you won $125,000, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's a scam.
Yeah, that's right.
So we need to have you clean that malware off of your browser. And Malwarebytes will probably do it.
Okay.
We can try to find some specific instructions for you, Joyce, that we'll post over at computertalkwithtab.com.
That would be good.
Yeah, if we can find some specific instructions, we will. But it is a scam.
All right.
And... you're going to have to get rid of it. That 15-year-old kid might help you there, too.
Okay.
But you need to run a scan on it to get rid of it.
Okay. That's right. I made a mistake. It's a stupid thing. I saw someone from the post office, and I sent it.
Yeah.
You know, so I...
It happens. It happens all the time. We're very gullible people, no matter who we are. We're all open to that kind of problem.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll get Malwarebytes and then... All right. Thank you very much. And, I do listen to you all the time. I really enjoy the show.
Well, we're happy you do, Joyce, and good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for calling. I want to thank everybody for calling on this lovely Saturday morning. You've all been connected electronically. It's going to make me laugh all day. To Computer Talk with Tab. And over the internets to Farmington, we're connected electronically to Matt Saroy, or however you say it, right, Matt? He's been running the show for us. He's our producer. Mike G has been posting everything live over at computertalkwithtab.com and over on our Facebook page. And if you like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, and Mark Zuckerberg deems it newsworthy, it may get into your news feed. Again, thank you all for joining us on this lovely Saturday. Get out there and do something for Connecticut. Go local. Go shopping. Go do what you can. Heck, on the 19th, you can do it all, according to Governor, which is great. So get out there and do something. Get moving around for Connecticut. Help our small businesses.
See you next week.